All right, take two.
This is Saint Sarah Shorts.
Hi, Stacey.
Hi, Jeremy.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. You look good.
You look good, too. Just for the people who can't see
for
us.
The people
we
who can't
good.
See us, right.
Yeah.
This
Welcome to Saint Sarah Shorts.
Nice. Yeah. What is Saint Sarah Shorts?
Saint Sarah Shorts is a podcast.
Correct.
Of really interesting, original, well-read short stories.
Nice. That's the idea.
Yeah. Yeah. And our company is called Saint Sarah. And,
this is an idea I've had for a while. And being in the middle of the pandemic, being told to stay home, I was like, hey, now's a good time to finish some of those stories and record them.
Yeah.
So here we go. The first one is called, let's just go into it.
Okay, great.
All right, here we go. The Life and Death of Bastien Solier by Jeremy Risch. Part 1. The Birthday Wish. He was born at the age of 0. It wasn't the first time this had occurred, nor would it be the last. His fate had been sealed long ago in an act of desperation. This was echoed at his 4th birthday party, when Bastien Solier, a very American name, which people always wanted to mispronounce in the French Solier, made his wish. A week earlier, his mother exclaimed publicly at Buttons and Bows preschool, "Oh, isn't he the greatest actor?" She'd seen him play Jiminy Cricket in a stage version of Pinocchio. His co-star, another 3-year-old, playing the lead role, broke down on stage when the boy's fake nose, held on by an elastic, fell off. "It cut my face," the other kid wept. But Bastien remained in character, improvising and moving the play forward as their teacher assisted the wailing Pinocchio. Bastien's birthday wish, some days later, was very deliberate for a 4-year-old. Something ancient spoke to him, told him, "This thou must wish." So he wished it. It went down like this. Eyes closed, he intended very clearly, "I want to be the greatest actor of all time." He kept them tightly closed for a moment longer than necessary, and then blew the candles out. His mom patted his blonde hair. It would eventually turn brown as a teenager and stay that way into adulthood. He looked up at her and announced his wish. She put a finger over her lips. "Shh," she indicated quietly. "If you say it aloud, it may never come true." She was right. This was perhaps his one fatal error in this lifetime. "Nonsense," his father nudged him. "You'll be whatever you want to be. And if he's going to be an actor, he'd better be the greatest, or he won't make any money." He was great. His high school drama teacher insisted he audition for Juilliard. When he got in, at the age of 16, there was a celebration in his town. When he was offered a full scholarship, his father began to brag. At 16, he was tall and handsome, with a natural charisma to back it up. So even though he was the youngest in his class at the Yard, he was an icon among them. Now, the way he cared so deeply about the craft of acting was magnetic. Roy, guru to many an actor at Juilliard, told him, "You have a gift. Be gentle with it." After Showcase, he had his pick of agents and was understudying on Broadway within 3 months of graduation. When the actor he was covering had to bow out of the role, Bastian took over with grace. Word moved quickly around town, being New York City, about this hot young talent. Soon thereafter, he was booking theater jobs in the city left and right. All this by the age of 21. Envy crept in among his friends, all of whom were actors. Slowly, he found himself feeling alone. When he spoke to his fellows, he dismissed the work he was doing, as if he didn't care, although he spoke of it often. There was a certain mystique he felt he had to maintain. This was his way of trying to connect to them, but they saw through it. It came across as arrogant, like he was talking down to them, which he was. As his true friends faded away, he began turning to other, more successful actors for solace. He listened to them intently, as if they held some secret sauce about which no one else knew. These people often complained of losing money on this or that job. In the beginning, he had no idea what they were talking about. But once he began to adopt their way of thinking, it became obvious. A smart actor always turns down work, holding out for a better offer. Otherwise, one might lose money. Now, to do this correctly, one had to set specific criteria if one was to become a successful actor. Soon he began turning down job possibilities that didn't pay enough, pretending to no longer care about the craft of acting. Maybe he really did stop caring. Well, he would now only audition for jobs that met the following two criteria. One, contracts that paid Broadway minimum or higher, i.e. Hollywood films, series regular roles, or anything beyond that. Two, certain lesser contracts could be pursued if they were good for my career. The term career being defined by money and fame. What eluded him, however, is that a career only existed if one was working, and that over time, not working just meant collecting unemployment, which was somehow better than getting paid to act, which equaled losing money. It also never occurred to him that if making money was his goal, there were easier ways to do that than by being an actor. He thought of his father. In his loneliness, he began to voluntarily advise his estranged actor friends of what he'd learned. "Oh, no, just say no to anything that won't make you rich or get you seen." They all thought he was crazy. He thought they admired him. Over the next decade, things slowly careened downward. An addiction to marijuana enveloped his soul. Food became a great comfort. He spent more money per week on both than the unemployment payments covered. Little by little, the pounds added up along with the credit card debts until one day he looked in the mirror and saw only stomach alongside tens of thousands of dollars in negative income. To add more pressure to his life, he decided to get married and have a child. Oh, not that he thought they would add more pressure. Quite the opposite. He wanted them to bring him joy, which they did, somewhat. But as soon as his daughter was born, he panicked, realizing he had no way to support her financially. The only escape he found from the panic was in a joint or a bucket of shitty Chinese food. The spiral continued downward. Once in a while, a few big auditions would come his way, and he would desperately pour all the will he had left into them, big still being defined by his two criteria. Eventually, his agent dropped him when he stopped booking gigs. He was talented, he had ambition, but he'd set an imaginary bar for himself that was just too high and unrealistic for any human being to control. He was in competition for roles with people who were legitimately famous, and he simply was not so. No one in the business cared about his criteria. His agent told him, "Well, if you'd accept some of these smaller, I mean, as you call them, auditions that I'm getting for you, maybe things would start accumulating. You know, you'd get your face out there, but you're simply not even trying to book anything. A career is built over time, through action." Bastian dug his heels in deeper. He insisted his agent was wrong, mostly to save face among his friends. Luckily, his manager still believed in him and continued to help him move what was left of his career forward. Then he overheard a New York director say behind a closed door, "No, we don't need a fat, nameless white guy. Can we just send him home?" I'm kidding. He's here, right? Okay. Yeah, send him inside, please. Yeah. We'll see him. What stung most was seeing the size and skin tone of the man who'd made this comment. They were strikingly similar to his own. He punished his 4-year-old self. His wish had been wasted. The more punishment he bestowed, the more his greatness was buried. I mean, the thing is, he was still great, in flashes at least, but his constant grasping for things that were beyond his control buried what was left of it. He believed the business wanted a young, tall, charismatic sex icon, much like the one they'd fallen in love with at the Juilliard showcase only 10 years earlier. What Bastian didn't know was that his own obsession with wealth, celebrity, commercialism had distracted his purpose. Not to worry, however. Forces beyond his control were at play. Within the hour, a man would knock on his door in order to save him from his missteps. It was destined to happen, based on the trajectory of his lifetime up until now. If it didn't, then the deal made so very long ago would be null and void. And there was no way Dionysus, god of theater, was going to let that happen. Not after all these years. Bastian's wish was very soon to be realized. All he would have to do is open the door.